A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Sorry, am I wasting time? I'm not wasting time. Hey, everybody, let's start a podcast. Sure. Before we begin, let us give thanks. I gotta shuffle my papers for let us give thanks. Gooder sunglasses, people. Fit, function, fashion, and fund friendly. Those are the words that describe the best thing you can put on your face. Gooder sunglasses offer all the best in style and protection for your peepers at pennies on the dollar. Get to Gooder.com today. Also, Scratch Labs, people, you know you need to get your hands on some spiced cider flavored hydration before it disappears. You know you do. Hurry your ass up, though, because the final bags are making their way to Lucky Homes to keep things warm and toasty on those harsh outdoor rides, or even better, post-ride warm-ups. Trust me, that shit is really good. Get to scratchlabs.com today and make sure to stock up. Also, look for the brilliant spiced apple donut recipe you can make with it. Not fried, baked spiced apple donuts. Serious. Ambassador Cycling, people. Get fit to get fit. You know your body changes, right? Not just size, if you're me. Pressure points, shifts, stress joints change, and don't even get me started on aging. Make sure you are up to date with proper position on the bike with Ambassador Cycling. Sam can help you with your new bikes, your existing bike, or even alternative bikes in your stable. Alternative bikes, that is a whole different kind of, never mind. AmbassadorCycling.com. And finally, competitive cyclist people. Sure, we believe the LBS here at Pack Filler, but sometimes the things you need aren't available. That's where our friends at Competitive Cyclist can help. Use the link at packfiller.com to make sure that what you need is available in time for your upcoming training and spring events. So there we go. I said it all. Let's do this. I might omit out the horns in the future. Do you think we're getting tired of the horns, or do you just do what we need?
We've got two members of royalty in here.
Yeah.
Very good point. Very good point. I was wondering why you were looking at your watch when you said that. I was like, for now? I mean, it's like something going to happen in the next 30 seconds?
Should have cemented that window off. There. Yeah. Something coming through for you.
They're coming in. They're storming the castle. Hey, can I say... Can I say the stadium just about there? I'm trying to read my own notes. I guess I'm saying, can I say the studio and bar are just about there? Welcome to another episode of the Pack Filler Podcast, coming to you from... It's official. Coming to you from...
Here it is.
The upgraded and renamed Rim Break Bar.
Yes.
within the Arrive Studios. So the entire entity in the other room is going to be a larger video-based studio for mechanical shit and stuff like that. So that's going to be another realm of the studios. So we're going to have multiple studios. So we're going to call the entity the Rim Break Studio. I mean, the Arrive Studios. But this is the Rim Break Bar, everybody. And it won. It won the votes. And Jackson looks like he's already upset. Yeah. He's
not. But you can have disc breaks over where all the grease is.
Yeah, I'm not touching the bar if it's Rim Break.
You know what we got to do is we got to maybe post on the door of shame some old school Rim Breaks. I've got some Campagnolo Nuevos that we could put
up. I have Modelo Speedies, but I gave them away.
I have a Modelo Speedy. I have
with Cork.
Yeah.
They didn't stop.
No, they didn't. No,
that Cork showed pads. If you're a man.
You just grab and go, oh, fuck. And that was basically all they were good for. Oh, yeah, they look cool.
They didn't last long.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
Yeah, worked terrible. For Sean Kelly.
Yeah, it did.
But, yeah. I had to stop. I had to stop the theme in order to mention the official title name of it. I do want to thank, before I even get into the show, I want to thank some friends of mine who this flooring in here is a big help from some friends of mine over at Perspective LLC, Perspective Flooring. They gave me a little copy to read, and I'm going to do that right now because I got a scorching deal on this. As the owner of a sales agency for top commercial flooring manufacturers, they connect to products to people who work, live, play, learn, design, and install commercial flooring in the education, healthcare, corporate, hospitality, and government segments in Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho, and Montana. Big thanks to Heather and Grant at Perspective LLC, because without them, we'd still be on plywood. And yeah. and installing this stuff was a lot of fun. It's like a workout room, rubber dense floor, and it's great because when Pulse breaks glasses, they might just
bounce back up.
Just if sure we can only get the liquid to bounce, we might be good to go. So there we go. Yeah. New walls, doors, flooring, and some equipment upgrades in the studio. Hence, we decided to throw the rename in. And it's so weird that the theme's not playing anymore, but I don't want to start it all over, so I'm not going to. We are preparing for a multitude of offerings in 2022, you guys, including some great video segments, monthly news and commentary. Of course, the regular Pack Filler podcast episodes, new interviews, collaborations with friends, and all the things that make up the two-wheeled lifestyle. Tell your friends, Pack Filler's continuing to grow. Stay tuned. Put Pack Filler on your home screen. You should just do that, don't you think? When people say, what the fuck is that? And you just go, whoa, let me sit down and tell you. Yeah. About these beer-drinking assholes who talk about bikes. We are live right now on YouTube at Vimeo or Vimeo. I don't know what the fuck that name company is. And Facebook. So let's see who's with us. Howie, he's the reason the bar got his name. I wonder if he feels any pressure now. Let's welcome to the show, Paul Main. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah? Yeah. How's the back, dude?
Well, I went and saw Sam.
Yay!
Because, yeah.
Where's my bike bell? That's it right there, yeah.
He didn't want to fit me. He's already done that once. Yeah. And he's like, no, that was too much work.
That's beyond help.
Yeah.
Some things can't be fixed. Cause.
Yeah. So anyway, his boss, Jeff, worked on me first, and then the next day Sam came in and he gave me a bunch of exercises, and they seem to be helping. I'm still struggling a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, before I was, you know, wearing pajamas in the daytime and counting the afternoons with coffee spoons. And T.S. Eliot.
You know, God, we're going on a Crash Test Dummies references tonight.
So nobody's. I really was. I was laid up. I was laid up for last two weekends. I just stayed in bed the whole time.
Shit.
Yeah. But I'm walking around. I'm at work.
Yeah.
I just have pinched nerve over there.
So that's what it was. They just said pinched.
But
nerve.
You know, I was having muscle spasms on top of that, and then. Jesus. Now, because of great direction from Tailwind, I don't have any spasms, but I can catch myself every once in a while because I get pretty complacent. It's like, oh, I'll reach for that. Whoa!
Really?
Boom. Yeah.
Well, is there a timeline, do you think? Or is it
when
just,
it's better? Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Shit. Yeah.
I finally said, screw it, and hopped on the trainer yesterday and today. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
God, there goes my window of opportunity. Second, he's our social media director, creative director, and the fastest guy in the room, Mr. Jackson Bulger. How are you, dude?
Doing well, thanks. Yeah. Not a lot going on. That's about it.
All right, there we go. Me, I'm the idiot who decided that podcasting would be a fun hobby back in 1999, and now look at me.
Yeah.
I put all the money into this studio like a dumb shit. I'm Pat Bulger. Hey, Jack's not here. Jack is in Hoquiam. I keep calling it Squim.
Hoquiam.
Hoquiam. Hoquiam, It's like me and Pogacar for a long time. I can't say. It's not Hoquiam?
Hoquiam.
Hoquiam.
I believe so. And you know Jack's going to correct us when he comes back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys are idiots.
He's going to live text us while he listens to the show tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
He'll be just like, and just random texts from Jack.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Kind of like how he does the show. Gentlemen, how's the training going? We got Paul's update on training. Mm-hmm. He got on. His back's getting better. He's been on a couple times. Jackson Bulger, how has it been, man?
Good. 3 a week. Calisthenics on Monday, racing on Wednesday, and whatever the hell on the weekend.
So you raced last Wednesday? You did?
Yeah, I did. I raced Tour de Zwift stage.
Oh, you were telling me about that. Yeah.
I think I got maybe like top 30, and there were like 140 people there. Wow. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
It was like the end. That last lap was a like.
So
tell
me
what
the, tell me what the course was, and tell me, was it open, like 140 people just random, or was it categorized?
Yeah, so it was categorized it was really just like a crit, but it had like kind of a little riser near the end.
Was it the Crit Town course?
It wasn't.
Oh,
it was
that
like,
one's, oh man, it's fast.
Yeah, it was on like Mercari Island. I don't know. That's probably the incorrect pronunciation, but it's like Zwift's newest area.
Sure.
And it was fun. It was hard though.
Yeah.
I'm happy I'm doing them though, because the best way to, in my, like for me at least, the best way to, one, motivate me is for competition, but two, like to prepare for a race scenario is to like race. Obviously they're so different.
Absolutely. But still, it's the closest you're gonna get right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're doing cross.
Yeah. And you and I were having a conversation about getting a winter bike together, so that...
Oh, I'm going to talk about that here in a second.
Then I'll leave
it. Yeah. what did I do this week? I think I got like 4 workouts in.
Oh, I thought you could say 4 beers.
No. Hell, that's a given. That's tonight. No. I managed 4 training days. I did a Zwift race on Saturday. Sorry to upset you, Paul, about that. But I did... downgrade a category. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't gonna tell anybody,
not
but I
long.
Did ground a downgrade a category. Zwift Power let me do it, and they didn't upgrade me immediately after finishing, which means I've lost fitness since the last time I raced on Zwift. It was like, oh yeah, that's about where you belong, loser. No, and I got 4th in that race, so that was all right. It was like you say, Jackson, it's kind of a nice way to get something in, you know. I really love the system intervals and training things like that, but I did like the fact that in this race it was 18 mile race. And I liked it. It's at a couple points. I was just like, maybe I should just call it a day. I mean, I'm not, you know, I fell off the lead of the group with the guys in the higher category. Maybe I just suck and I should just quit, which made me realize I was pushing myself hard enough. Mm-hmm. So, shit, I guess this is fitness. And then, you know, and so the person who won my category, now I keep saying age group, but my category was, it made it stuck with that front group. So it was bad. That person was about a minute or so ahead of me, but and then there was a sprint from about 5 or 6 of us, and I apparently got 3rd.
There you go.
I did strength training. Oh fuck! This is my reality check for me. I did strength training, and it was like one of those. I when you restart a system training program, it kind of gives you the learn the moves. Of the blah, 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 blah. I was sore for 2 days after a 12-minute strength training program, just from lunges and stuff like that. And I'm like, Pat, buddy. Get your shit together. You have to do this. And then I was putting the flooring in here on Sunday, and I had twitchy sleep on Sunday because my hands were so shredded from cutting. And oh my God, I was terrible. So anyway, it's a wake up call. It's a huge wake up call. So I'm gonna just drink another sip of my beer. Jackson. Okay, so let's get to it. You did desire. You did mention, and this surprised the shit out of me. A desire to actually train outside.
Yeah,
and on a winter bike.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this like a lot recently, but living in Portland is not the same living here.
Nope.
Especially weather wise. I was looking recently. My girlfriend and I were, and the weather is, it's like almost 60s in Portland right now. Like it's
Jackson, you can't look. You can't look.
I'm never going back, but it's like, oh, that weather is why I now, it's why I realized the fact that I never stopped training outside. Like it was August to August, always outside. Mind you, I would come here during the summers, but still. And I miss it. I miss it. There's no, I have no motivation. I haven't ridden outside since October. That sucks. And I'm ready to just, I'm ready to go back outside. I don't know how leg warmers are going to do. But you know, I'm ready to just,
you don't have tights.
I don't have full tights. No.
Oh shit. You can't go outside in leg warmers right now.
Well, you
that's
know,
that's all I have.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I don't have any tights.
I
have also.
I'm holding my nether regions right now just to keep them warm because I'm thinking of you guys.
That becomes a problem when it's 20 degrees. When I rode around 20 degrees, then you have a problem of that area getting, you know, a little cold.
I've even. Really?
Yeah.
Below 40 degrees, I'm like, give me the full tights, man. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to do with what you got.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
But I'm right now just willing to just brave the cold because you're going to warm up eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just ride harder.
Yeah.
You get cold. You've seen me do that.
Yeah. No, I have seen you do that, but I'm just worried about, you know, potential of
bits
even close
off
to grandchildren because it's going to be. It broke. Sorry, honey. I rode outside and my. It doesn't work anymore. Wow. Okay. So what do you need to properly ride besides tights? What are you thinking of? I mean, and between the both of us, the three of us, what do you consider like a winter riding setup? And you were talking about building up a separate bike.
Yeah. So I have my former road bike. Which was, it's like a Trek Madone 2.3. So it's like, it's fully aluminum. It's it's 105. And to me, like that is perfect right there. Cause it's aluminum. So it can take all of that beating of the winter weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus 105, the group set of the people that can take the beating.
Group set of the people.
But like, I've had that same group set for 9 years now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't skip. It's never been changed. It's like works so well.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it can take all that stuff. And so fenders depends on where you live, I think. But yeah, I think that's where I'm going to go.
You're not going to fender up? This time of year, you don't really, when everything's frozen, you don't really need it.
Yeah, I think it depends more when you get towards like the melting phase of everything and the rainy phase of it. That's when you kind of need them more. But right now, it's just dry and cold as hell.
Did you fender in Portland?
Only on my gravel bike, just because it's Portland and it's, if you ride off road, it's like the muddiest place in the world.
Yeah.
But not on my road bike. I never did on my road bike.
You didn't.
And I only got wet like, well, I never rode in the rain because that's stupid. But like muddy, I only got muddy like once.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you ever consider, Paul, a winter riding setup? And if so, what would it consist of?
I'd always used to have like two road bikes, and it was the older of the two, and that's all I rode. You know, as in gear, as in kit, I always battled problems with gloves, but, you know, booties. I do have, when it gets below freezing, I do have a pair of wool tights that I wear. That's when you have to, but above freezing, then I won't.
You still have wool tights?
Yeah.
Are they old? Like super old?
Yeah, they're old Polizumis from the first like 1988 is when I bought them. They got a giant hole in the crotch from the saddle and stuff, but they still work. I mean, what you wanted to do is protect your legs. So And I've crashed a couple of times and they've been sewed up. And
I have not only some old Giordana somewhere, wool tights, but I also still have the world championships suspenders because they weren't bib tights back.
Back then, hey, you boys. It's
a lot of hard.
See,
you boys.
I had wool tights.
Sweat the better, boys.
And the world championships suspenders because they didn't make. The bib tights, and oh my god,
I had a pair of Vittorio Gianni's like that. Yeah? Remember Vittorio Gianni?
No,
they were they had like a bunch of I can't remember, somebody, they've been renamed.
Oh my god.
There's somebody who's out there now, but yeah, anyway,
yeah,
Brent is telling us, Brent, yeah, and I actually completely agree with what he's saying. Best purchase I made was winter cycling shoes, especially where he lives.
Yeah,
in
Jackson's monitoring the YouTube feed, by the way. So yeah,
in Vermont.
Yeah, I've see. Okay, this is a
specific winter cycling shoe.
Yeah, because there are some brands like 45 Degree North that make like winter
CDO shoes. Has made some too.
Yeah. But like the idea of a fat bike has seemed kind of interesting to me lately. Just because, like, it's...
I was going to ask this. This is really...
Yeah, it's... Well, it's way snowier here. And, like, can almost get, like... You can almost guarantee that some sort of snow is going to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, having that all, like, all do it winter bite, in my eyes, I think would be kind of cool. And, like, a winter shoe for that, I see... All the pros have. Ian Boswell, Ted King.
Are you going to ride that much to justify a $250, $300 riding, winter shoe?
Yeah, that's true. I would rather spend that on a pair of tights because tights are pretty damn near the same cost. Are they're expensive as hell. And that's that's another thing that I've got.
This is such a stupid sport. My God. But really, so a really good pair of tights is going to be that much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, for sure.
Paul, I remember I did have a pair of Descente ones. They were blue. You know, they were just kind of the pants with the nylon shell over the front of them. I wore them as sweats.
With the windbreaker.
Yeah, I wore them as sweats. Mm-hmm. I didn't wear them as cycling. And I wore them everywhere. Everywhere. That was just my pair of shoes I wore. I have my old steel Harry Gary frame that I have all dialed in, and I'm going to convert to a winter road bike. But the more I think about it, what kind of a commitment do you make for a winter ride when you're gathering all your gear? You're looking for your shoe covers. I have a pair of neoprene shoe covers. You know, I used to have a pair of fleece lined shoe covers, which were even neoprene and fleece lined. Mm-hmm. They were just. I find all that stuff. I do all that stuff. I get the kit on. It takes me 30 minutes to find all this shit and put it on. And then I go out for an hour and a half ride. Seriously, I mean, are you better off just going downstairs or into your space and hopping on the trainer and cranking out some intervals?
There is I know you're going to agree with me on this, Paul.
What? Yeah. They're going to agree with each other.
There is not a better feeling in the world than riding your bike outdoors.
Yep.
Getting that like wind on your face, feeling like, especially like in the this is what riding outside did to me, but like getting that feeling in the winter where like it almost like you're breathing so hard and like the cold air like destroys your lungs.
Taste blood.
Yeah. Like it's terrible, but it's also like exhilarating at the same time.
Wow. I have tons of rides, you know, and well, there was one time it was 0 degrees but sunny. We had a cold snap and dismount Dave, because we planned on a ride, and he called me up. He's sure you want to ride? I said, yeah. And so he rode down to my house and he goes, dude, it is freaking freezing out there.
Oh, man.
And I said, you know, I'm calling all kinds of names and stuff and saying he's weak. And we headed down from my place, dropped down to downtown. We hit downtown. I had an ice cream headache. It was so cold, the descents. And I said, I got to warm up. Let's go up. We went up Monroe, which is, if you know Spokane, it's pretty steep. And I said, no, let's go home. Have some coffee, and watch some cycling videos, and that's what we did.
So what I'm saying is you put an entire, all this preparation and effort into a ride that lasted 20 plus minutes.
Well, it didn't even last that long, but yeah. that was an extreme.
Okay.
Now, I've ridden many times at 20 degrees if the pavement is gone. Like, if we hit a cold snap now, the roads are pretty cleaned off.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't any water. It's dried. And I did tons and tons of rides, you know, in my 20s and 30s all the time. And like Jackson was saying, there's nothing better. And Andre and a teammate and I went out to Cheney, and we had snow coming. And it was blowing sideways, and we're out by Betts Road, which is outside of Cheney. And we had to stay, like, he was on the center line, and I was right on the edge of the pavement because we were blowing so bad, and the snow's coming. And he says, you know, this is going to pay dividends. And I just kept thinking, no one else is outside riding like this. And it wasn't an hour and a half. We were out there for 2.5 hours. But you get done, and you're freezing and stuff, and when you feel really accomplished something, yeah. That's almost like a 4-hour ride, in that cold and those conditions. Your water bottle's frozen.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to drink.
Please
anyway,
understand, so. My job on this show is obviously devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. My job is to just present the neutral question.
You're kind of that way by nature, anyway.
Well, yeah. I do remember my days at the Olympic Training Center back in the day where we would our bottles would freeze consistently, mm-hmm. and our coaches would drive up alongside of us and hand us the most scalding red rose tea with so much honey in it that it just.
Your teeth would fall out.
Oh, it was the most wonderful thing in the world.
Was it in a plastic bead on?
Yeah. Pip's bottle. Yeah.
Can you imagine that plastic?
Oh, the amount of toxins I probably ingested.
All the BPA in there?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, this is old stuff.
It's amazing
that's
sterile.
And he ran this to us. And we were in fixed gear back then, too, because we were all told to ride fixed gear in the winter. And I was on like a 42-16, 42, something like that.
In the drops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the other coach, but yeah. I wouldn't ride in the drops at the OTC. But, I just remember the taste of that super thick, honey-drenched tea, and it was just, oh, my God, it was good.
Well, I know Ted King, he takes a hydro flask of, like, his Untapped Maple Aid.
Nice job.
But yeah, he takes like a warm hydro flask of it because like temperature doesn't really like affect those like insulated bottles like that. Like the outside temperature doesn't, and so he has that on like his fat bike and sometimes his gravel
bike.
That's
a really good idea.
Yeah. If you're willing to if you're willing to beat up a hydro flask, like taking like a metal water bottle like that.
I'm completely ignorant on this, but I wonder if there is like a, you know, a flask, like the old man, I take my whiskey wherever I go, that kind of a thermal flask you could take, like what we were supposed to do on New Year's Day, you know, where you could put 8 ounces or 10 ounces of it and it would fit in your back, in your jersey pocket or something like that.
Like almost like the hammer gel thing,
a little bigger, but my god a shot of hot, like I'm saying, this scratch hot spice cider on a ride, it would be, oh my god, when you're freezing your ass off, and just a belt of that would be really cool.
Yeah.
No, fuck it, maybe just a whiskey shot would probably be good too.
Wake you right up.
Would.
Yeah.
Would. Fuck it. I'm just going to get drunk on my ride. So, yeah, no, that, no. Would you, Paul, would you consider a fat bike if somebody handed you one?
I tried them a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's just going to take too much room. That I would not use it often enough to justify the cost.
Somebody handed you one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
Where would I ride it?
I remember. He shall be named in a second, Roger. Roger, I remember telling me that he would go out there and hammer the road in the winter
and just ride the road.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's still time on the saddle.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Well, I do it with the old 26-inch wheel mountain bikes. We used to, back in the day, without suspension.
Yeah.
Well, and I had a Fuji back then. No, I had a Hukuiku.
Gary Fisher. Yeah.
And we'd go out to like Comstock Park, it was just totally flat, and we would like create a kind of a crick course, and we'd end up bumping each other. And it would be axle deep snow. It was a blast. We had tons of fun.
That is fun.
You know, we could do it in Upper Manitou too.
It would be fun.
Yeah. Not now. The snow is hard and crusty.
Yeah. Like that. And you fall and, yeah. Yeah, and your back's back but, to you know, where it was.
Think back then, you know, if you tacoed a wheel, it was easy to fix. Yeah. I mean, and cheap. Mm-hmm. Now you can't get parts. You're like,
yeah.
The angels cry when something breaks on a bike.
Every time a rim breaks,
an angel gets his wings.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. You know, it's just like a chiropractor buys a condo. You know, anybody think that. So, wow. Okay. So you're gonna get out. You're Jackson. You're thinking of getting out here like soon.
Yeah, and
I can't believe this because you are notorious for not liking cold.
You know, I hate the cold, but I'm really hating the indoor trainer right now. I'm feeling like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, just like losing my mind inside.
All work and no outside makes Jackson a dull boy.
Yeah.
You should find some tights. You got to find some tights.
Well, I just got a text that we might be in business on getting tights.
So, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Nice.
Cool. You got approval?
Not approval. Help.
Oh.
Ah, good.
Okay. Okay, there we go.
Financial aid.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Jesus, I can't believe they're that expensive. But, you know,
well,
I'm still on old Pearl Zoomies, and they're still holding up. Although the elastic around my ankles kind of, you know, breaks.
Were they durable? Because that's what mine
was. My newer ones is what I'm saying. You know, just a thermal tight.
Not wool.
Yeah. By the way, can we just stray away from tights and that word and terms like that? But are we just screwed to forever be made fun of by Republican tight ass redneck guys? You know, you put your tights on there, man. I don't know. It's just.
Do a parade.
Yeah. Well, why don't you dance for me, Gabriel? It just drives me crazy. So, I should get to the news. Should I? I should get to the news. Where's my news intro? That's my news intro. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, you will.
I already finished a pint of beer. If the news should be slanted, it's because I had a pint of beer. Hey, we're going to start. Brought to you by our friends at Athletic Brewing. Irony. Use the link at Pack Filler.
There we go.
There's the pint. Use the link at Pack Filler for the best brews available out there that are NA. Finish dry January strong. Unless you're me, just drink them when you want. Or just get started on the NA revolution of the craft brewing industry. How do I shift gears? Okay, I'm just going to do it. We're going to start with the toughest headline out there, you guys. I'm sure you have heard a lot of the news about this, about Egan Bernal. Underwent major neurological spinal surgery overnight in Colombia with the procedure described as a success. Surgeons worked on injuries to the thoracic section of the spine, with a hospital revealing that he had managed to maintain neurological integrity and conserve the functionality of the area, suggesting he could have avoided permanent damage of his spinal cord. But according to a statement from Colombian police, he crashed into the back of a bus while training near his home with several Ineos Grenadiers teammates. Videos and photos, I don't know if you guys have seen any of these. Yeah. I'm not going to show any on our media because it's... showed him lying on the ground behind the bus, which had heavily dented rear panel. He suffered multiple injuries and fractures, but the Clinica Universidad de La Sabana de Bogota, wow, look at me and my accent, confirmed that the neurosurgical operation was a success. And I have received updates just recently stating that he is awake, he is moving all four of his limbs, and he is communicating with family and friends. So First and foremost, I want to take a moment in the show to hope for all the best for Egan Bernal and the best recovery possible. And I know for a fact that you guys are both in the same boat with me on this one. It sounds like it's a horrific crash. It appears that the bus he collided with, again, was not moving. It was parked in some sort way, shape, or form. I'm terrified to advance on this this topic and this subject because there are so many discussions online about how far you can comment on something before it becomes clickbait, before it becomes some form of an attention grab. And I don't want to do this. And I talked to you guys about how we wanted to approach a story, and we all agreed that this isn't the time to speculate on his future, outside of just keeping him and his loved ones in our thoughts and recovery and health. Does anybody want to expand on that? I mean, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, and I don't want to disrespect Egan Bernal. I don't want to disrespect anything that happened and the importance of it. We're going to spend time talking a little bit later about the inherent danger in the sport of cycling. But if anybody has anything you want to throw on top of that, I mean, and if not, you're fine.
Well, he had a major crash prior to his Tour de France win, and he came back. That guy's a fighter, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him back on the bike. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, but,
I can't. He took a blow to the face on a crash.
Really?
Yeah, he's got fake teeth. He has a scar on his lip. I think he broke his collarbone. He was unconscious, and it was. I think he was training in Colombia when it happened. So, if I remember correctly, it was a training ride, and he got really banged up. And I thought, you know, well, that was it for him.
But
he like was back in the saddle and was late. I think it was late fall of that year. I'm trying to think if that was 2017 or 18.
Yeah.
And he was like taking descents like you wouldn't believe. And it might have been, you know, Lombardia or something. And I was like, holy cow, or those small little races before. And he was chewing it up. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just hope that he, like, as a guy, or as a person, is better. Doesn't matter what he's doing. I just hope he's better. You know. But he's an entertaining rider to watch. When he was at Strada Bianca last year, he was.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell was he there? But that was so cool to see him there.
Yeah.
So like I said, or like Paul said, he's a fighter. So I'm excited to see him back.
Yeah.
And he was one
at whatever level, you know.
Yeah.
We're just hoping to sit up and hug your family, man.
Yeah, you exactly.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever he decides to move on, you know, he's going to push it to where he thinks he needs to go. And so, Dismount and I were talking about him. He's a very likable guy. When he won the tour, he went low key. When Quintana won the Giro, they had. The whole country, you know, had a big festival. He did not want. He's a very humbled individual. He didn't have a party.
The outpouring on social media has been gigantic.
Yeah, he's just a very. Everybody seems to like him. Everything that I've read. So, and he's one of those tour, you know, small Colombians that he's not afraid. He was doing one day like Strada Bianca and Lombardia. Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, as opposed to some of those guys you see like his fellow Colombians. They start the race and you never see him towards the end. Yeah, Chavez, though. He actually won Lombardia.
So. Yeah. All the best, man. My one thing I want to bring before I go to the next story is and somebody stop me if I'm wrong in commenting on this, but Our topic tonight is going after our next story is going to be about the inherent dangers in cycling and how many professional athletes have to put their lives at risk on such a consistent basis in order to prepare for their sport, other than cyclists. That this is out there, that we hear hearing constant stories of pro cyclists, and I'm also talking about the everyday us, the Joes, the normal people, the triathletes, the road cyclists, the gravel cyclists, the mountain bike cyclists who are taking their lives into their hands. And I can't believe that we're in a sport that has such inherent danger. But I got to get to that later. Sorry, I apologize. I'm jumping ahead of myself. So there we go. So sorry. Second story. What's up with Crossworlds? I have to say this. Finding information on this race has been anything but easy. I don't know about you guys. I've been searching all over the place. My workplace internet will not let me look at the World Championships website because it's unclassified or it's missing some integral information in its keywords that won't let me search it. It's ridiculous. No start lists. I found start lists, and I found them through fucking Twitter today to find that. This has just been absolute insanity. I can't believe this is. And tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm overreacting. If you guys are like, Pat, I found all the information out there, and you're just looking on the wrong website. But I can't believe we have the World Championships in the United States and they're happening in 4 days, and we don't have access. I don't know where to watch it. I don't know what the start list was unless I dig deep for it. Are you fucking kidding me? What the hell's going on? Is anybody?
GCN Plus is covering it.
They are.
Yeah.
Live?
And you? Yes, live.
Okay.
Both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
You guys obviously didn't watch the cross races last weekend.
I did not this last weekend. I was too busy putting
Pidcock in here. I thought he came off of a huge like training block, 33 hours the week
Holy
prior
shit.
To.
Shit.
And he doesn't look so good. He looks a little gassed. I mean, he's shifting
focus.
Yeah. Well, he should be like Wout and, you know, what they Wout and Vanderpool do.
Yeah.
But he has to start behind because he has less points, and in no time he's with the lead dudes. But I think he was on a final lap or second final lap on Saturday, and he just puts a hammer down, hits a corner, and greased out and crashes. No. So he's out on that one. Tunarts, I think, won that one, and no, Lawrence Wake won that one, and then Tunarts was second. And then the next day, he gets a 18 second lead at the halfway point, and on the last lap, Isabet, who had a crappy start, comes from all the way from behind, closes the 18 seconds in the last lap, blows past him, and he ends up only getting third on top of that. I think it was Vanderhaar who ended up even beating Pidcock in the sprint. So it'll be interesting. I thought it was a lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to add a little bit of fuel, now, maybe interest.
What are we staring down the barrel of
here?
Yeah,
so it's an open thing. You know, everybody's like, well, Wout's not there. Vanderpool's not there. Pidcock, I mean, most people are like, you know, Pidcock's just, you know, breathing down their neck. So that's an easy thing.
Yeah.
And Elie Isbett's like, no, man, this is going to be a good show.
I sent you guys start lists, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even pay attention to them.
I don't know. It's to me.
On the women, are you going to cover the women's
Go
situation?
For it. No, yeah. To speak of
so first and oh, God.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's two ladies.
Mariana Voss.
Mariana Voss is going to win it. without a doubt. I think Lucinda Brandt may, but I think Voss, she won last week.
Mm-hmm. God, wouldn't that be?
Yeah,
she just could. Could we just put her in an immediate standalone Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
I think we already could. Yeah, she's already got the world champions bands on her.
Voss the Boss.
Son of Kant. Is she going?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm looking at this list and I'm like,
Bitsuma is got. She's out because of a fever.
Yeah, and there's some COVID.
And COVID's worse. Had a positive on COVID, so Lucinda Brandt and Marina Voss.
Those are who you're going with.
Ones, yeah. Trying to look down the list.
It's hard to really go any other way but that.
But not Claire Hansinger?
Yeah, Claire's doing well. I mean, there's a chance, outside chance there. I mean, she knows the course. Because they raced that course earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So
I did finally track down some photos of the course conditions itself, and it looks mildly dry, you know, as far as things go.
It's going to be fast. Kind of muddied up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very fast.
Yeah. I would not count out Sana Khan. I think she's gonna haul ass. Guys, want to pick one or two riders? Should we go women first?
Women?
Yeah,
sure.
I'll go Voss first, and then I'll do Lucinda Brandt second.
Okay.
The exact same.
Nah. I'm gonna fuck around. I'm gonna just, because I have to, because you know that's what I always do, and I'll say
third Clara.
Well, you can't. I told you two riders. Right, I'm picking Clara Hunsinger, and I'm going to pick Sana Khan because I think she could do something. I think she's, are you kidding me? Do not count her out. Gentlemen, what are we looking at? What are some big names? Iserbitz, Tunaerts. I'm looking at a tentative start line.
Van Kessel. Herman's one when it was in... when they raced earlier this year, Herman's did really well.
Yeah.
He won. That's really well.
you can't count out a guy like Tom Pidcock because you know that he's going to... I mean, he's still sitting seventh in the rankings right now, and he didn't do the... Ilya Iserbyt could have a great fucking day and probably pull it out.
There's a run-up on that's really long, and Iserbyt is quick. Mm-hmm. And he got some time. That's where he got like a second or two off. I clocked it. I watched it the second time. And he gained a second on the run-up, this long run-up. They called the Stairway to Heaven on that last course that Andre Vanderpool set up. Believe it or not, his son's won it for the last 6 years since they had the race. So so anyway, I think Iserbyt ended up gaining a second just on the stairs. So
I'm going Iserbyt and Tunaerts. That's my pick right there.
Say Iserbyt and Pidcock.
I'm going to go for it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think Tunaerts and Tom Pidcock.
Okay.
Cross is weird now, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Vanderhaar is the... he did well in this race. He got second. He was just behind Iserbyt and beat Pidcock. Now, that was a very fast course. He also won the European Championships on a very fast course.
Yeah.
Also. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be right there, I think. I think he's going to be mixing it up.
I still can't believe, though, that it was so hard to find.
Yeah.
I was looking on Cyclocross Magazine's website, and there was very little detail. It's just come on.
I'm actually looking forward to this race.
I'm really in. Yeah.
I think Cross is like, I think I'm excited to watch it and everything. But to me, Cross is starting to get to a point where who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Which, like, really?
A lot of people feel that way.
Well, it worries me a little. It worries me a little bit because ultimately, like, it's such a short season. And when it's around, like, the big names are starting to say, oh, I don't care anymore. And so we're starting to see the riders themselves not even care, which to me worries me a little bit because when, like, your biggest names, like, for instance, why do people go and watch or why does Cristiano Ronaldo make so much money for a team? It's because he's Cristiano Ronaldo. Like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what brings in the money. And so I don't think Kroos is going to go anywhere. I think it's going to still like be a big deal, but I also like these big stars are starting to
do you not equate give a shit. Some of that because of this year, because of COVID, because of the fact that they have to travel so far to get to the World Championships here in the States. I mean, you know that Wout van Aert would probably still attend the World Championships if it was a 120-mile whatever, sorry, K, you know, drive instead of a gigantic airplane worrying about COVID infections and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know then. The reason why I say I don't know is because it seems like he wants to peak for something else and mm-hmm. not for Kroos. Kroos seemed like a fun training ride where ultimately he got to bang around with a couple kids. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of looked like, which also is a thing that is like, what is the current Kroos field that we have when we're seeing a rider like Wout van Aert come in and just it's like nobody else is riding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's part of it. I agree. It's mm-hmm. it's not fun to watch. This weekend was a lot of fun because it was close in a battle, and that makes it worthwhile for me. And that's why I'm thinking it's
there.
Yeah, those two guys. I mean, and I mentioned that last year too. It's like it's all you do is wait. Like Vanderpool was just cleaning up everybody. Yeah. I mean, you just mm-hmm. wait for him. He just wait. Like you could see, he's not even effort. He'd lay the power down and is gone.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, here you go. And then might as well just watch second and third place. You know, see the battle. But it's going to be tight. And with Wout, he actually pulled out like 2 weeks ago that he said this is my last because like Jackson said, he wants to hit the monuments. Yeah. So,
I would recommend to everybody listening to this podcast, that's why the women's field is so exciting right now.
Yeah.
Because it's up in the air a little bit more.
Lucinda Brandt might have won 90% of the time on solo. But there was a couple of good ones. Voss had one in the corner. She hooked her shoulder on the last.
That was a great race. Yeah.
She came back from nowhere. She threw a chain and stuff. And then I thought, well, she's out. And next thing you know, she's... But... Yeah.
All right. Gear shift time. Our topic of the show brought to us by our friends at Wahoo Fitness, you guys. Your source for the best cycling technology and innovation. Smart trainers, computers, heart rate monitors, and all the accessories imaginable. Be a Wahooligan. Use the link at Pack Filler to show them we sent you. All right? I'm going to start this on a bit of the blunt side. There's truly no other sport that puts the top athletes in constant danger in cycling. And I know I was ranting on that earlier, and this is what I mean now. Cyclists faced impending injury, violence, and even death every time they leave to prepare or even enjoy their life's pastime. Unfortunately, Egan Bernal's crash is not new, although one of the most severe in recent years. And no, I'm not taking advantage of Egan Bernal's crash. So for those of you who want to hate me right now for making a show about something like that, you know what? Sometimes there's time to talk about it. And this is the time to talk about it. Cycling is truly an inherently dangerous sport. One that seems to be getting more dangerous with every cell phone, every gigantic SUV, and every opinionated, uneducated driver at a time. We as cyclists might not admit to it, but we put ourselves at risk every time we straddle the top tube. Okay, so am I speaking in hyperbole? Am I being paranoid? Or is it just road cyclists? Or are we to blame? So let's find out, okay? Guys, panel, my friends, everybody here, on a regular basis, how safe do you feel when you're out riding on the road, gravel, or even trails?
I feel pretty safe. Mm-hmm. But that's also on experience level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the more you ride, the more, like you're right, the better you feel. You know the roads that you're on. That helps as opposed to not knowing where you're at. I mean, there's that constant, mm-hmm. you know, doubt. Cars are buzzing past you. I know what roads I don't want to ride on because mm-hmm. traffic or even that particular area has a tendency to be not so kind to road cyclists. So,
our Thursday night, our TNT ride that we refer to all the time, leaves from a very odd place, in my personal opinion. It rides down one of the major thoroughfares up here in this district on the South Hill. And I've never understood why we
there's a bike lane, that's why. But no one stays in it, but they should.
Yeah.
But technically, we have the ride. Yeah. So that, to me, I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. It'd be better than, I don't think there's another way to get off the hill. That's probably the best way, because
once we go, we turn and go down the hill, I agree with that. But do you associate your level of safety with where you live? I mean, the city in which we live and the city in which we ride.
I do. Yeah. I've never had great success. I don't think Northern Idaho is a great place for me to ride bikes. My experience. And it's not,
which is funny because that's more remote. And I, you know, when I first brought this up, I was thinking about more concentrated urban cities, you know, and things like that.
But and again, there might be the factor that I don't really know the roads all that well.
Sure,
they have a tendency to be in, and when you get out a little bit, like the roads that we like to ride in, not in traffic, the roads are usually a nasty chip seal. Mm-hmm. They're very narrow, hardly any shoulders. There's some people who don't like to drive the speed limit in Washington too. Maybe I've picked the wrong spot, and people from Idaho going, "You're an idiot."
Yeah,
but I've had no success on Northern Idaho. I don't look forward to doing that.
Jackson is somebody who's, you know, come from a more obviously a major metropolitan to here. Do you associate your safety levels with one or the over the other?
I don't know if I really associate it with the place I live. You're going to have good and bad drivers across the globe. Like I said before, I more base it off of like my experience level. I don't trust a driver. There's not like one driver in the world that I'd like that besides like the people that I know, like, but out on a ride, nobody is safe to me. So, and that's how I took it in Portland, you know. Mm-hmm. You get used to riding on highways because that's the only place you can ride. And so, like, it's just that comfort level with being close to cars on our TNT ride. I feel safer in the road than probably others do just because I have been in situations where there have been no bike lanes and you have to be in the middle of the road. And one way or another, you're going to have to figure out how to cope with that. And, That's why I feel safe, is just because my comfort level, and I know, and I feel like Paul and I have talked about this on a ride. You have this sixth sense, like as a cyclist, of when you feel like something's not right. You, as they say in the Spider-Man movies, you have that Peter tingle
where
you feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and you know that, oh, this car is going to cut it close.
You can look at a car and know what they're going to do before they know what they're
going to do. Yeah. And so it's that personal experience that I've kind of like created over the years that just makes me feel the safest.
Michelle, my wife just came back from Hawaii, and she said, "Oh my God, you should, next year I'm gonna go back and you should come with me, and you should bring your bike." And she said, "However, I'm concerned because most of the people here are in tourist mode, and they're either looking at their GPS or they're looking at the scenery." And I just it made me think even more, and especially with the incidents that happened over the last 24 hours, made me think about the fact that how much of our existence we're placing in the hands of other people. Just going out, I can go out in my car. I can go out and drive around anywhere I want, and I know that I'm 99% of the time going to be okay. But if I go out on my bike, there's all of a sudden this impending doom element of somebody who's just looking, who wants to take an Instagram picture, and I'm dead, and I don't come home to my family. How common are close calls on your rides, in your experiences? And what do you define as a close call? In traffic or on gravel? I mean, I'm not...
Yeah, it's funny because gravel, I feel like you find...
My beer's frozen, so...
gravel around here, and I find that sometimes is where I have more of the close calls.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
just because it's my goddamn road.
Yeah,
you know. So that's where I find it more. But my close calls, you got to be a pretty damn close call for me. Like, really? it's the car's got to be pretty close to me just to make me feel uncomfortable. I mean, like I said, Portland has changed my mentality in traffic. It's, I can have a car that's a couple inches away from me, and that's just where they're going to have to be.
Yeah.
How am I going to cope with that?
But that's not considered a close call anymore. Somebody almost clipping your shoulder is not considered a close call anymore.
I think if somebody's almost clipping my shoulder, that's where I'm going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But if they're driving close, it's not necessarily freaky.
It's not
for
a heart-stopping moment anymore.
Not anymore.
Paul?
Yeah, I think close calls for me is when I get adrenaline rush. I'm like, sure, that was a close one.
Yeah,
I can think of one, Evil Mark Kanoki.
Yeah.
And CP and I were going up Four Mounds. And Four Mounds, if you're going up the hill, is not that bad. This guy was coming down in this mid-'80s Camaro, flying down there. And he is starting to slide into us. And I thought, oh my gosh. Yeah. We are dead, because his line was right towards us and his tires grabbed right at the last second. And, you know, we just continued riding. Of course, CP's like, that was scary.
He kept riding. Have we become desensitized?
I think CP threw some language his way.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't think he heard it, but it helped CP.
Have we become desensitized to this, where we're almost accustomed to threats on our lives on a regular basis?
Well, I don't know. I think it's the risk that you take for what we want to do. I have a friend that's big into snowmobiles,
mm-hmm.
which the speed that they can get, and you have to know the trails. And growing up, I've known two people that actually died snowmobiling. One went through a barbed wire fence, didn't see it.
Oh, shit.
Decapitated. So,
oh my god.
Yeah. So it's, you know, there is rules of the road, and even snowmobile, whatever you're doing, downhill skiing, you know, you can run right into a tree, you know. And,
but I understand that. You know, when I'm road cycling, I can run into a tree too, mm-hmm. but I don't have the trees
coming
trying
at you.
To come at me and roll coal on me, and then laugh about it and then take me out and then not be criminally prosecuted for mm-hmm. it.
I will say, though, I think there's a narrative here that is kind of difficult. It's that as cyclists, we have people that are hired to murder us, that I think is it can be intimidating, because when some people hear about cycling, they meet, or road cycling specifically, they go, no way, a car is going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that is something that could at one point happen to anybody in this world. But at the same time, that's not like 9 times out of 10. A lot of the times, like, that's not going to happen. And I think that also needs to be remembered as well. While, yes, there are like large dangers out there, at the same time, we aren't like, it isn't going to be one of those days every single day, or it just plain just doesn't happen. But I'm not also discounting the fact that there are accidents out there. I mm-hmm. think that's something to be wary of and just be careful of on the road. But at the same time, entering the world with fear, as we've recently discovered through all of our events, is just that's a really tough way to live.
You know, I think too, it depends on where I'm at, mm-hmm. is how I ride.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you were talking about gravel roads. I grew up, and we've ridden, you know, on that, went right past our house, and you had a small little video on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, riding
on the YouTube channel. Yeah. Gravel with friends.
Yeah. And so, I know as a kid, when I was in high school, I would fly down those gravel roads like 70, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I was part of the Duke boys,
in
you know,
car.
In a car. people, what we call trap wagons. They carry supplies, you know, like grease and, mm-hmm. and fuel for the tractors and all that type of thing. Those guys are flying from field to field.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the road, And that's where the problem becomes with, and there's stopping in gravel is not.
It's the same.
And so, you know, when you get out in the farm country, there's always farm implements being dragged down, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's always those cautions. And so I ride differently on those. And you can actually hear those. That's where you have to, you can hear them way before. Mm-hmm. And you can see dust. You use your advantage there. In the city, I don't cut corners. I try and really obey because that seems like you're going to really lose because there's so much traffic going on. Somebody's going to lose sight of you at 4-lane, 2-lane, whatever type of road. So, but, you know, there's several roads like out at Cheney, you know, I was talking about in the winter when Andre earlier on, you know, we're blowing sideways. That hardly gets any traffic, you know. And so, yeah. I think you do develop as you ride and get familiar with the roads and stuff. You are safer going out. You got to use common sense if you're not familiar with that area.
Okay, that's one of my later questions, but I'm going to jump to it now. We talked. Jackson mentioned the sixth sense that riders develop, this ability to interpret and to understand traffic and to see a car before it sees you, and to be hypersensitive to it. What do you say to the rider who just is learning the sport and just wants to go out and ride their bike and get to understand the sport and things like that, but hasn't developed that. And they're almost jumping into a flaming pit of danger. What do you say to somebody like that? Do you say you should definitely 100% ride in groups and get comfortable with people, but they might not be comfortable riding with people, or they might not have a club or something like that? I mean, how do you approach that scenario in getting somebody to develop that, and how do they do it safely?
Well, I think that, I mean, there are plenty of things out there. But I think, first of all, starting off what Paul was mentioning before, just that familiarity with roads. If you're unfamiliar with the area that you're riding in, do what you know how to do. Follow the rules, stay to one side of the road, and if you feel unsafe, go to a different area because that's all, like, that's what you can do. Also, if you feel comfortable riding with 50 lights on your bike and high-vis everything, then that's okay. I don't care if it looks great, if it looks bad, or whatever, but if that makes you feel safe, that's what matters in the end. Because style is way less important than coming home.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Have any of you guys considered some of those elements? High-vis, you know, first aid with you, you know, those types of things, elements into it? Or are we just classic old school cyclists who just still do what we always do?
You're asking me that?
Wait until you're a twitching pile of meat on the side of the road.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know.
It's just, possibly. I mean, the new Cannondale.
The Synapse.
Yeah, the Synapse has like a built-in sensor of cars coming.
Sure.
Lights that are all integrated, one battery and stuff. There is not, it's got a mixed review on it. There's a lot of people who want to choose whether or not you're paying for that when you buy the bike.
Yeah.
Some people don't want the headlight, they just want the taillight. Or,
yeah.
And then it has that senses when a car comes up. And if you have a Wahoo, you can see there's a little icon of a car coming up and how close and how fast.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would really do anything for me because it's going to come anyway. You know what I mean? Whether I hear it because I'm listening, I've developed that sense that we were talking about.
Sure.
What are you going to do? It's coming up. You can look over your shoulder. If it's coming at you, you just got a warning that you're going to get hit. I'd soon, to be honest with you, just go.
There's so many technical elements that I never realized existed. And because I'm just in my own little, you know, cloud of traditional curmudgeonry, but things like when we did one of our first TNTs where we're riding, where I'm hearing everybody's computer beep 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 beep, and they're all going car back, and I just at some point in time I was going, are you shitting me? These guys, everybody has the sensor on the back of the bike to tell them when a car's coming. Whatever happened to just hearing it and looking over your shoulder? This is my old man statement coming in, you know, creeping into the scenario. And headphones. I still have a difficult time. And I've talked on this show multitude of times about riding with headphones and about the fact that I will ride with my my Bone conduction ones, but I still won't do it until I get out of town. I just, I get nervous about those types of things. So,
oh yeah. No. I, a precaution that I take is, during the winter months, I will leave like a tail light on my bike just because it's darker. It mm-hmm. could be foggier, and that flashing red light mm-hmm. always helps. And hell, you can buy those at your grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, like that's right. That's actually where I got mine, was at a Fred Meyer.
Really?
And I just, triple A's and you're good.
Yeah.
Like something like that just gives me an extra sense of comfort. I kind of developed that when living in Portland. Like I left it on all the time. Mm-hmm. But since being here, I kind of felt that like more of a comfort. But yeah, it's especially during winter, that's something that will always stay.
What do we equate this to? Is this the fact that because of the internet that we have access to more information, we know about more incidents where these are happening, where I wouldn't normally have known of the kid rolling coal on the cyclists in Arizona, I think it was. Excuse me if I have the wrong area.
In Florida, was it?
I can't remember. I didn't know of a lot of these situations where these things happen. Is social media to blame? Or is it the size of vehicles? Cars are gigantic now. Is it distractions? Is it telephone distractions? Is it the fact that globally, if not just in our country, that people are pissed off and they think they're right no matter what expense it is? What do we equate this to? Why are cyclists leaving their homes and not coming back? Anybody got an explanation of what the fuck is going on?
That last question there, I don't think is an answerable one from this table, unfortunately. I think that takes quite a bit of deliberation, which is tough, because that's a big question with a lot of big answers. But I think the reason why I take my precautions, at least, is not because I'm scared, not because I've seen this on social media. And I do think that we now see a lot more on social mm-hmm. media. We know what's going on in a lot of other places. And that can be both good and bad. But I take these precautions just because when I own a car and I drive. And so when I'm out and I see people with lights and I see how effective they are to me, I think, gosh, that's great that I saw them because of their lights. Mm-hmm. Why don't I do that for other drivers as well? Just to make it not a life or death scenario, but just to make it easier on everybody. If I take that extra step, and I'm not saying everybody has to take that extra step, but for me personally, I feel as if I take that extra step, it could make a driver be like, oh, that's a cyclist who wants to be seen. Maybe I'll keep an eye out for other ones. Because, mm-hmm. like, I think on the roads, like, it can be, like, the roads can be such a, like, a volatile place. It's kind of funny because we live in such, like, a regulated, like, world. But it feels like when you're on the road, it's, like, the Wild West a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, anything that can make, like, a better image or a better name for, like, for the community that I include myself in is I will do anything for that.
Is it our responsibility to help drivers understand? Is there a way for drivers to learn to respect cyclists? Do we have to go out of our way to either not ride on super busy roads or to get out of the way whenever possible? Do we have to be overly caring? I don't know about you guys. I don't ride on bike paths if it's a concerned path most of the time, because there's like a 15 mile an hour speed limit, and you got parents and kids pushing and strollers on those things. And I won't ride on those things.
Yeah.
So where do we belong, and how do we convince the community that we belong there?
I don't know if there's any convincing at all, especially the temperament of society nowadays. It's so polar, and everybody's got an opinion, and nobody understands why the other people are there or doing this or think that way. But I as long as I have the legal right and I feel safe, I'm going to continue to do it. And that's all I can say. And I'm with you when it comes to bike paths. I you know, late fall, winter, if there's not ice, because there's usually going to mm-hmm. be ice on bike paths. That's the only time I hit those. They're just too busy once the weather starts cracking, and it's not fair to them. You know, it's not fun for me to come up on a group, and you can see them, and everybody wanders. I mean, they're training their kid or teaching their kid how to ride a bike and stuff. And so
their kid looks back and looks at you, so they swerve in front of you because that's just the natural tendency.
Yeah.
And you don't want to come by somebody walking a stroller or with their kids. You don't want to come by them going full speed, because you're an asshole if you do that. You are an asshole if you do that.
And I wish education would be, because of the, you know, the state law says we can now, in the state of Washington, we can ride two abreast as long as we're not impeding traffic. Well, what is impediment? Impediment, if I recall, and I could be wrong, is five or more cars behind you. Then we have to do something if we're backing it up.
Yeah.
Most people don't have the patience for that, you know, around here. And the other one is that recently a new law is that we don't have to stop, come to a complete stop at a stop sign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as long as it's safe, but that's, you know, that still is pissing people off.
Yeah.
And drivers are like, how come you're not stopping? Well, it's a law.
You could quote the law to, I've been around police officers and quoted the law, and they don't know the fucking law.
No.
And then all of a sudden you're the bad guy. Or I could put on my headstone, I was right.
Mm-hmm.
But a car still hit me, and I'm fucking dead, you know. So it's and how many times have we read about stories that have said bicycle accident? You know, he was on a ride and he you know, it was the cyclist's accident. No, a car fucking killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I don't want to turn this into a bikes versus cars. I drive a car everywhere I go, but I'm tired of people looking at me going, I pay the taxes for these roads. And I'm like, no, you fucking idiot. I do too. I'm just out here on my bike right now. Oh, by the way, I paid taxes for these roads too. So I wish I understood, and empathy is so hard when people are unwilling to empathize with you and understand that person you desperately need to pass to get your cigarettes and fucking newspaper on a Saturday morning has a life and a family at home. And I'm getting riled up, if you can't tell. But this just infuriates me that our lives are in the hands of somebody who desperately needs to make an Instagram post or something like that. And there's no educational program in driver's ed or advertising or marketing program that exists globally that just says, you know, 3 feet or share the road or those types of things, that even if a driver hears it once or twice when they're not paying attention, it might help a little bit and ingrain into the head of something like that. So we don't have these situations where, you know, our friends and are deciding to just switch to Zwift full time or something like that. Because I know we have riders in our community who have said, fuck it, I'm riding Zwift.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to remember that there are a lot of dangers, and that is something that shouldn't really be forgotten. But at the same time, like, remember what we were talking about earlier. Like, there is no better feeling in the world than going out on your bike and riding outside. Because I get such a thrill from being outside with everybody and just having fun, because it is such a special feeling. And it can be scary sometimes, because maybe a car comes too close and maybe they yell at you. And that is, for the first time, that is a freaky feeling. Mm-hmm. But it's also a wonderful sport that can just, I don't know, I'm at a loss of words because I have so much care for it. And I think it is safe. Just do what you want to do to make yourself feel that way.
Perfectly said, man. You brought me out of my Pat's being full of bullshit and all grumpy and sad and pissed off.
Because
I
am.
Yeah. I find myself getting into this, and it's just, I just like, not again, not again. No, God, not again. You know, and I got to get off social media.
That's the problem.
Yeah, let's end with some fun, shall we, you guys? You guys, we established this. We did our research before the show today, and let's end with some fun. Thanks to our friends at Mojo Cyclery. Speaking of local bike shops, Spokane Valley, Washington, the home for all things gravel. They also sell a bunch of other beautiful cruising, absolute works of art, including Jackson's current road bike. Yep. Thanks to our friends at Mojo Cyclery, mojocyclery.com. Look them up at Spokane Valley, Washington. If you do not live in Spokane, you know what? Go to your local bike shop. We're going to rate the 2022 kits. There are so many of them out there, and I was waiting to do this simply because EF took forever to release their kit, and they were the last. And I think they're going to be mentioned here shortly, so I don't necessarily need to dive into our interpretation of what we think of the EF kit. But each of us was assigned to find out what they think are their top and bottom three kits from the teams of 2022. There are no specific levels. It could be domestic, it could be local, it could be the pack filler rebate kit, it could be the top world tour teams, or discipline. It could be road, it could be gravel, it could be mountain bike, anything you want. Track, I have track teams. So for those of you following along, you might have to Google along with us to see what we're talking about, but I have a pretty good idea. You probably already have seen them, and it can agree or disagree accordingly. So your top three, gentlemen, and why? Does anybody want to go first with their top three kits and why? Going from third to, should we all do third? I'll do second. I'll do first. Should we just do it that way?
That's kind of a
fun way to do it. So I'll go first. I might as well, since I started this whole damn thing. My third favorite kit, and you might have to look this one up, is Caja Rural.
Been around for a long time
because I'm old. I love retro, and I love the green of that kit. It's a green lower half, white top, which you're going to find me being fairly hypocritical here shortly because I'm sick of everybody this year. White shoulders are the thing right now, but I just love that old school look of a Caja Rural kit. Who wants to go with their third?
Oh, I will go, and my third favorite kit is Quickstep Alpha Vinyl.
Really?
I like it this year. I liked the last year too, but the white shoulders again. I think it looks pretty good. Plus, I kind of like Castelli stuff.
You really?
I do.
You're brand specific. That's interesting. Why you would associate a design with a brand?
It's not really the design necessarily. I like the Castelli pack filler kit that we had, so I like how that works. Mm-hmm. I also think that the little Scorpion fits well because they have red in their kit as well, so it doesn't look like, oh, this, why is this weird Scorpion
logo ties
here?
In
yeah okay. Works well.
Okay Paul?
I have a third, the Canyon SRAM women's team. Have you seen that?
It is
I like it. There's a little bit hesitation because they have the flora, like busy. Diamonds on there. It's a little bit too busy, but I think it's pretty cool still. I mean, I liked it enough to rank it because I thought it was unique. Nobody's done anything like that before.
I didn't mention enough of the women's teams. The SD Works team mm-hmm. kit I really like. Sorry if I'm ruining somebody else's second or first, but I like the SD Works.
FDJ, women's team, it's not like they're not connected, but that kit is really cool with like the red on the shoulder. Yeah. I like that a lot too.
I agree. My second kit is the new and improved Bora Hansgrohe kit. I like that it's I called it a soft redesign. It's not gigantic, completely redo, but I like the bold nature of it, and it also kind of gives me a little bit of a Lavie-Claire kind of a feel to it, which everybody knows is my weakness. So that's my second.
My second is the Bora Hansgrohe kit.
Nice!
I think they did a really good job with this with it this year. It's not like it's not just all green.
and it's not all
white.
The
top of the red square.
That's almost I like really a nice like it. Change. And their bikes, I think, are really cool, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen them.
They're all black, and on the inside of the fork, they have red.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And on the top, I like the Band of Brothers thing that they have going on the top tube. I think that's really cool.
We got to get rid of all black bikes, matte black bikes. We got to stop that shit.
But what am I going to do? They don't come in. That's all I have.
Yeah. Exactly. Mine's orange.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, Paul, you're second.
Believe it or not, I picked Bora.
No!
Yeah. I do. I like it. Probably was the best outside of Candy Sram, like departure from.
Yeah.
To me, it was a great departure, a positive one. I like that. I think it's pretty cool. And I think they did a good job on the bikes, like you said. Yeah. So.
All right. I'm going for my top kit for 2022. Movistar. Always had a brilliant kit, and even if the team hasn't lived up to their potential, and you know they always seem to brilliantly fall apart. I think it's subtle and bold at the same time. Mm-hmm. I love the logo. I think it's eye catching. It's a kit I would wear, even though I try not to wear current pro team kits. That's just kind of my personal thing. But I love Movistar. I think that's the best kit in the Peloton, men's and women's, both the same design. Class, Jackson.
Mine,
we know,
is the EF Easy Post.
You're gonna go there. Okay,
I applaud them for constantly pushing the envelope.
I agree.
I think it's really cool. I do like this kind of like splatter with also a little hint of Argyle in there. I think it's really cool. I think I really like the women's kit too.
It's a blue. It has the Argyle design, isn't it?
Yeah. Which I think is really cool. But I also like that they like differentiated the two. They didn't give them the same kit, but they gave them like similar kit, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And those bikes are amazing.
I've seen the bikes.
They're so cool. Like the front end, is that splatter.
Mm-hmm. Really.
And then the back is just like a clean white, and it has the little stripes of Argyle in it. The pink and blue stripes, and that I think is so cool.
Do we credit Jonathan Vodders, or do we just say he's got a really good design team behind him?
Well, he's carried the Argyle from the beginning.
But do you think that's him, or do you think that's
I'm sure he has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. When you got like genuine artists like Taylor Finney in your back pocket, I bet there was some word in.
I'm not
going to
lie.
Kit.
I saw the kit this morning. No, yesterday morning. And I just went, oh, no. I can't see the sponsors. I don't like it. Same thing I've been with every EF kit since Garmin. It's not before it was EF. Every time I've looked at one of the Vodders kits, I've gone like, ew, okay, it's okay. Oh, wow, I actually kind of like it. You know, and it grows on me. Even that Palace one he did for this year, for this year with the duck on the front, you know.
I will say, another reason why I constantly pick EF is because before I even came here, my girlfriend and I were talking about this. That remember the most recent Giro kit, that all black, but they had
that was
the coolest kit I've ever seen in my life.
I think Bora has a little bit of that
Bora,
going on.
Very Bora what they have now. Yeah. It's almost like they're stealing a page out of that. Yeah. Well, they're not going to use it. Might as well pick it up. You're throwing away a perfectly good donut. I'm going to eat it.
Cinnamon donut. Yeah. Baked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice job. Paul, your number one kit in the Pro Peloton.
Cycling. In cycling. It is pro. It's Women's Trek. I liked it better than the men's. It's very simple, understated. The blue I like a lot.
Wow.
And speaking of like Vodder's teams, one of the best ones when they were Garmin, like 2011, when Johan von Summeren won the Paris-Roubaix.
Yeah.
That black and blue, I think it was very good. And I like their colors, and I think it's done very well.
I prefer the white over the black that they've been doing over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I like the all-white kit.
Yeah.
So. We're gonna get to the bottom three.
I'm
gonna get in a lot of trouble here shortly. Okay. Interesting. All right, bottom three, gentlemen. My third worst bottom is Trek Segafredo. I just all the white. I think
the men's and women's.
I'm primarily picking on the men, I think. It's just blah.
It's boring.
It's just there's nothing there. I liked their kits last year. I thought it was better. Kofidis at least has the red and multiple in the lower half that I think it's a good blend. But I don't like Trek Segafredo's current kit. I think it's boring, and I think the team's boring this year. But anyway, sorry. There we go. Jackson?
I have always thought this about this kit. I think Groupama FDJA has just a boring,
like
stupid kit that I like. I don't like that they have the white outlines on the where the stitching is. I think that looks
the French tricolore.
That stitching looks like very early 2000s, and cycling to me is not a place where that is. And so it's just like, I think it's just kind of gross. I've always thought that. Especially with the blue shorts. Like, why are you doing that?
Oh, okay.
We're going to see it all.
Yeah. Yeah, the window to the world. Yeah, Paul, third worst.
Third worst, EF.
No!
No! It's just so busy. It's so, to me, like if it's boring, that's one thing, but this is just crossed the line a little bit. It reminds me of, you guys call it nowadays, jungle juice. We called it Spody.
Spody.
I got really sick one time, and it was Technicolor Yawns. I mean, it's so busy.
Technicolor Yawns.
It was terrible. and that's what it looked like. It's like, what am I looking at? I mean, the sponsors are hard to spot.
They are.
I liked last year's a lot. I thought that was clever. They had in red, really fine, where the UCI... Mm-hmm. You know, I liked it. I thought it was great. This one is a bomb for me. It sucks.
See, it's funny. I'm the opposite way. I thought last year was the most boring EF kit they've ever had. And I wonder if that could be like maybe people liked it more because it was more like understated than like the previous.
Yeah. This one's bold.
Yes, I love very it. Bold.
This one's bold. Second, I'm picking the Italian Continental Team Bardiani. You guys probably know that purple kit that they have, and I'm just going to call them Team Grimace from now on. It's just terrible. I mean, it's almost like they lost a bet and that was the only color left or something like that. I think it's terrible. I think their shorts are even the same purple, aren't they? It's a bad. It's horrific. Although it's easy to point out.
That's true.
See it in the peloton. I'll give EF credit. At least their shorts are dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but that's a Bardiani team. That's terrible. Jackson?
I have never liked this kit. Alpes and Fenix.
Really?
The most boring kit in the whole Pro Peloton.
Yeah.
I also think that it kind of makes them look weird. Like when they ride that all gray is like, it's not black and it's not navy, but it's just an uncomfortable gray. And I think it's boring. And like I said, it makes their bodies look weird.
Sure, sure. Just the logo across the torso. Yeah.
And their bikes are boring, white and blue.
How dare they? Paul?
I had a battle on this one. For second worst. Total Energy for second worst, I'll have to go with. That is pathetic. It's not.
I wanted to like it.
I can't like it. Yeah. To me, it's just the colors don't work together.
Yeah.
It is. Like I mean, unicorn. It's painful.
Looks like a unicorn shit on the bottom of your jersey.
Like a local club that I joined. And I'm like, I got to ride with this for a freaking year. Yeah. I mean, that's how disappointing it would be to me. So. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I'm not a fan either. And my top shit kit. And I'm probably being too harsh on them because it's the color means something to the team, but I still don't like Astana. I've just hate. Maybe it's because I don't like the team, but just that color. It's too much. It's like the helmets, the bikes, the jerseys. It's all through, and it's just like I don't like it. And Nibali's back there, and reason for me to not root for Nibali. I don't like the team, and I associate the team with the color.
I was teetering on that, but I think I found one worse, and it has that same stupid stitching thing that I hated with FDJ. Why is Bike Exchange such an ugly kit this year?
It really is,
and I think the helmets. I don't know what it is, but
who does their helmets? It's not Scottsdale.
Giants.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But hey, Carson. Yeah, the helmets on these make them look stupid, really? I think. And the blue shorts. Why are you doing that, man? Why, like...
I'm still a fan of dark shorts.
Yeah, like...
I just don't...
And the uncomfortable, like, fade up just looks weird, and...
That was my battle between EF and that one. But EF caught me. The more I looked at it, nah.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Your worst kit, Paul.
My worst kit. It is Intermarché.
Oh, really?
That thing is like never looked good. They haven't done anything. And it's just plastered with. And it's hard because they're a Belgian team.
Yeah.
You know, so it's. Yeah. But, and
you kind of want to root for them because they're underdogs.
I do. Yeah. They're huge underdogs. But their kit is just. It's just too much. Yeah. You know, it is just awful.
They got Kristoff?
Yeah. Kristoff's riding for him.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. This is make or break for him.
Yeah.
Okay, before we finish off the kits, I do have to ask your personal opinion. They've been around forever. Age Désert, the brown shorts. What are your thoughts on the brown shorts? Have you just grown to like them? Are they disgusting? Do they look like poop pants?
I think I don't mind them anymore.
I don't either. Yeah,
me either.
But
at first I remember looking at them going, fucking brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will show a little disrespect their way for keeping the same damn kit.
Yeah. No, they did tweak it last year. They kind of, it's like when you got your first computers and you're like, holy shit, look at how big the font goes.
They didn't.
And they just did that and they did it at an angle.
They didn't do it this year though, which I was like, that's a bummer.
EF did take a little tweak out of, it's not an angle?
No, they kept Age Désert kept the same kit from last year this year, which I think is disappointing because I like the creativity of teams coming out with
EF,
their kits every year.
EF did technically steal the
angle.
Logo on an angle.
I like the Age Désert kit. I just think it's boring that they kept the same one.
Well,
it's a meh.
Middle of the road.
It's not offensive.
Yeah.
It's not a total energy.
Kind of like their results.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, meh.
Yeah, meh. Yeah, not gonna happen. All right. So there we go. If you agree with us or disagree with us, bring it. Some of you guys were commenting on the YouTubes, and that was nice. Hey, Brent. By the way, good to hear from Brent. Brent's been on the show before. It's nice to hear. If you have questions, comments, ideas, or want to play along, be sure to follow us on social media as well as catch us live right here Tuesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific, belling up to the Rim Break Bar. God, Jackson's still pouting. So there we go. Right here, Tuesday, 6 o'clock. Stay safe, you guys. Big thoughts to Egan Bernal and his family and loved ones. And we'll catch up with you guys next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Talk to you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.